Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Terry Wong. Welcome to The Good Life. We are here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Roger Wong came to San Francisco from Taiwan in 1970. There, after escaping from an abusive home and living on the streets, he met Maite, a young French woman who became his wife. And the two of them began an earnest search for meaning in their lives. After a personal encounter with God, they became drawn to the city's Tenderloin District, where they discovered the power of prayer, fasting, and hands-on service in a community starving for hope. Nearly three decades later, they continue to experience the power of God's provision, healing, and transformation, gifts available to us all. With refreshing tenderness and gritty, heartfelt examples, chasing God will inspire you to run the race of faith not as a sprint, but as a marathon of miracles. This book, Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey in the Heart of the City, is a book by Roger Wong. He's our guest today here at the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And we just pause as we do at the beginning of every show to remind you that he's here. We're here because God has brought us together to remind you, right where you are in your life, how much he loves you and that he knows you. You're not just one drop in, you know, 6 billion people on earth. The Lord looks at you personally. He knows you by name. And you know why we remind you of this? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Over 2,000 years ago, he shed his precious blood on that cross and he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. That message there, my friend, is a message of hope that there is life everlasting and an incredibly different quality of life here on earth when you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask you, would you do it? Would you open your heart to Jesus in this moment? Well, I hope so. We hope so. Pastor Roger Wong is here with us today, and he talks about chasing God. Have you been chasing God? Well, God has been chasing after you. Pastor Roger, welcome to our show.
Thank you.
This is part two of our two-part feature. In part one, we talked about you being raised in Taiwan, Taipei, Buddhist parents, immigrating to San Francisco at the age of 15. But then now you're the founder and executive development director of San Francisco City Impact, which you and your wife Maite started 3 decades ago. Pastor, you wrote this book, Chasing God. Why did you choose that title?
Because I feel that there is something within each one of us that we probably have not been able to tap into. And God has a blueprint for each one of us by name. And that's what happened to me. After 27 years of my life being isolated, living loneliness, and when I was liberated through a TV evangelist with the simplicity of the cross, the message of cross, I was liberated. And I chased after him with prayer and fasting. And before you know it, I was on a different path. I was committed. I felt fulfilled. And I feel that everyone has that. We just need to make that commitment to chase after him.
Now, this any book that we hold in our hand, it's a journey. I mean, some people have even talked about it. Of course, we're all guys here, but they talk about almost like a gestation process, a conception gestation, and a giving birth process where there's sometimes lots of pain there before the book is actually in our hands. I'm holding it right now. It's just a beautiful product here by David C. Cook Company. But tell us about the process. How did God put it on your heart to write this book?
Well, I just been working in the Tenderloin, reaching out to the broken lives, and 29 years later, about a year ago, we just kind of sat around, and my family members wanted me to put this together. And so we were able to call one of our friends who happens to be a writer. She wrote 4 books, and so we asked her to co-write with me on this book, and I just pretty much gave her my journey for the last so many years in my life. And through this whole process, there was a lot of healing also, because I never really shared that, a lot of the stories in there. And so we just put this together within probably 9 months, and that was the end of it.
You mentioned healing, telling the stories, and healing in what way?
Personal healings, lots of stuff within myself. I didn't share with anyone. I didn't share with my wife the times that I was out on the streets, sleeping in the hotel locker room, out and about. San Francisco is a very lonely place to be if you have no one. And so just things in my life, the brokenness, the unforgiveness in my heart towards my parents, cut off from my brothers and sister because they were pretty well-to-do, but I didn't want them to know that I didn't have anything. And I was just a restaurant worker, really. And but there was just moment by moment, and I began to remember all the ill feeling that I had and the loneliness, and so to really restore me as I share my story with my co-writer.
So as you're going back on your past as you're writing the book then, how is Jesus a part of that visitation into the past?
I believe that when I came to know the Lord at age 27, I pray and fast for that restoration, for God to restore my brokenness. But I never dealt with each part of my life. I just kind of skipped those stages and then just wanted to move forward. But by sharing my life and my life story with my co-writer, what happened is I had to go all the way back and to deal with each situation. It wasn't just the abuse, and it wasn't just the verbal abuse or the physical abuse and the loneliness. Those are just words. I had to relive, and there was a lot of tears. And she was very emotional as well. So we both went through a very emotional stage to put this together. But in the midst of that, God was able to deal with each one. And that's how I became whole again.
So 9 months, a year later, if we were to have had an interview, we would be with Pastor Roger Wong. But a year later, as we are today, in many respects, you're a new man. Still in this process with the Lord, having been healed from things of your past. Now, you mentioned forgiveness. And we talk about and sometimes preach about the importance of forgiveness. What impact has the act of forgiveness been in relation to dealing with experiences of your past?
Of course, now that the book is complete, and I have read this book several times over in the last 2 months or so, And I still cry, but it's a different kind of cry. How God has given me another chance. Now is a cry of grace. Before there was a cry of brokenness. And I needed to forgive my parents. It wasn't just about the abuse of a situation, but they robbed of my life. I didn't have stages. I'm pretty blanked from the time I could remember until I was about 27. I didn't have a normal process. I didn't know anything about sports. I didn't get to celebrate my birthday. I didn't know the meaning of Thanksgiving, Christmas. I had no friends in my house. I didn't want to have any friends. I was just sort of like in coma for that 27 years, and all of a sudden I woke up, but now I'm in the modern world and trying to catch up. And so that the unforgiveness was based on the lives that they destroyed, but also my older brother, who was also being destroyed. And my second brother, whose life was also destroyed. And so, you know, you put that all together, it's pretty hard to forgive if God didn't come to my life.
How did you get the strength to do it? How did that happen?
I just cried out to God. I said, if I have to move forward, I must forgive because I have been forgiven. And I exercised that. I practiced that. And, you know, there was a time that we used to get up and preach on a Father's Day. And then the day after that, I would be in a depression for 3 days because I knew I didn't believe that message. Mm. On Mother's Day, I would preach, and then I would get into depression for 3 days. And my wife would try to get me out of that pit. And so I just came to a place, I just realized I need that power to help me. The power has helped me in areas of my life, but I chose not to because I kind of like it. I didn't really want to. I wanted to hate them. I wanted to pin them against what they did to my life and my brother's life. It's sort of a satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. But you hold this against them.
Yes. It's almost like a drug addiction. You just love going back because that's your territory where you are the one who's in control. But I knew that was wrong. So my wife helped me, and we prayed, we fasted, we got out of it. And so I'm complete. I'm grateful.
I'm looking at the book as I'm hearing you share this, and I can't help but to think, this is a book about chasing God. That's the title. As part of that, it has taken so much grace, and I would even say the grace of courage to go back. Now you're saying it. Here's Pastor Roger Wong, respected leader, but to share about the process decades later of what you have had to go through and then the forgiveness process for your parents. Someone listening today, my dear friend, our dear friend, you might be stuck in, entrapped or even unwilling because, you know, it gives you that same sense of power and control when you go back to that. You know, you haven't released that, but you don't really want to release it because you have that over them and yet it's killing you on the inside. You have your own depression moments, just like Pastor Roger shared. He's an even newer man today because of what he's experienced. It's all captured here in the book, Chasing God. There's an immense amount of hope when we forgive. We've all had to go through it. There are probably other things that the Lord has to deal in my own life about forgiveness. That's one of the things that's so valuable, beautiful about leadership that is transparent, because it draws us in. And you know, in our weaknesses, in our brokenness, in our pains, sometimes we might feel ashamed of those things. We don't really want to talk about it. But isn't it Isn't it just marvelous how God can take our most painful moments and use that brokenness of our past in a redemptive way to bring hope and blessing to others? I believe that's what the Lord is wanting to do in your life. So it's not a matter of just hiding, living in shame, and maybe just acting. It's being transparent and genuine, as Pastor Roger Wong. We're going to take a quick break right now. When we come back, you'll hear more about the book Chasing God, One Man's Miraculous Journey in the Heart of the City. We're talking about the city of San Francisco, the Tenderloin District, where there are 37,000 people that live. You'll see the drugs, the prostitution. You'll see crime, major crime, two major crimes happening every hour there in the Tenderloin District. But there are people that are hidden in the back alleys, that are hidden in rooms and apartments that you don't know. It's like a subculture. They're going into the very heart of the subculture, touching these lives. It's written about it here in the book, Chasing God. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an e-book, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
What if you came to awareness that there are things happening in your life and in your family that you wanted to change? Would you do it? Would you know how to do it? Would you have the power to do it, to change the future of your life? Well, you know, with God and through prayer and fasting, there is a power, a transformational power that can make a difference in your family and in the lives of others in the future. We're talking to Pastor Roger Wong, and you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Terry Wong. And the book Chasing God is a deep book. It's written by Roger Wong and Susanna Foth Otman. And it's a book that has the kind of quality, because it's all stories, it'll drag you through, pull you through, and keep you from chapter to chapter wanting to find out what's next. Well, we have the author himself here in studio with us, and we're talking about different parts of the book. And so, Pastor Roger, when we talk about the process of the book, you know, there are some things that were included, a lot of things that are included, but there are other things that, that weren't included. During the break, we talked a little bit about your family. That was, you know, you were concerned about your family, your dying off. Tell us about that.
When my wife and I came together, we dedicated our lives to the Lord, and then we begin to look at both sides of our families, and we were not growing. Family line is important in God's work. When I look at my family, my older brother Stanley died of throat cancer, and my second brother, he just locks himself in the room and isolated, does not want to talk to anyone. And I was also in that situation before I came to know the Lord, but I was more of a workaholic. And my number four brother and was also in a lifestyle, and he got drunk and crossed the road, got killed by a car. And my sister, she has one daughter, but she's totally cut off from us. She does not talk to me or any one of us. My youngest brother is just out there chasing money and just wants to have a good life. And we didn't want that to be within our family. So my wife and I, earlier days, we were not thinking about the ministry. We were thinking about our family. We pray. We make covenant before God. We fasted. We ask God to expand our family. So now 37 years later, we have four kids, four in-laws, and 16 grandkids.
Wow.
And we all love Jesus very much. Of course, the grandkids, they don't have a choice. They have to follow us into the church.
And can you imagine what will happen in the next few generations as that has happened?
So what's made the difference? Why your family and not your siblings? What's the difference?
I believe it's because we made a covenant to God. We will serve you with all the days of our lives. Would you bless our family line? We didn't know what really happened and why it happened to both sides of families.
So Mighty's side of the family too then?
Yes, it wasn't growing as well. It was violent, and there was no growth either. And we just asked God, we said, we don't know what happened, what they have done, but we know by looking at the number, we are diminishing. Would you just start with this family? That was our prayer.
But you have not only experienced a biological increase. As I understand it, your family serves with you at San Francisco City Impact.
Yes, they're with me. They're excited about reaching the kids, the homeless, the immigrants, the poor families. Everything there is about the one-on-one. And so, yeah, they are with me every day.
I'm looking at one of the chapters in the book, Praying and Fasting for 230 Jones Street. What's the story behind that?
Well, you know, I started to work just by knocking on the doors, telling them about Jesus, praying with them, and then going into the living room. It's just one studio where you have 5 to 10 or possibly 15 people living in the little room. And just by knocking on the doors, I never wanted a building. I just want to tell them about Jesus. I want to find someone who has been isolated in those apartments, like I was. And eventually, 230 Jones, this musicians' union building, came up for sale. And so I called the broker. I asked him if he would write up an offer for me. And if he could present me as the buyer. He was the seller's broker. And he said he would do that, and the building was up for $1.2 million. He asked me how I would get the money. We just quit three jobs, walked into the Tenderloin full-time. But by that time, we, you know, like I was saying, we're just praying fast. And I was a brand-new Christian. I was only a Christian for probably close to 2 years. I told the broker, I said, don't worry, God's going to take care of it. He was not very comfortable about that remark. And well, a few months gone by, sure enough, we didn't have any money. My wife and I, we got together. We made it a covenant that we will fast for 40 days, and we did just that. And so we fasted 40 days. At the end of the 40th day, a few days after that, some elderly Asian ladies started coming down the hill from Knob Hill, and they were handing checks, personal checks, $5,000, $10,000, $17,000. We couldn't even communicate. We speak different dialect. But they were just pointed to the building and said, is that for Jesus? And I was just pointed to the building and shout Jesus three times. And they were just handing me the check, and they would just move on. And one of those ladies asked me if I would attend one of their prayer meetings. So the following Wednesday, I went up to this home. It was a three-story mansion. We walked in on the same street, Jones, but now it's 20 blocks up. Walked into the building with my wife. It was a long, narrow hallway, beautiful homes. And there was just a bunch of noise in there. And when we walked in, made a left turn, there was a huge family room. There was a group of about 40 to 50 elderly Asian ladies praying in Cantonese. And the hostess, Mei Chan, turned around, looked at me, and she said, Pastor, would you come here? We want to pray for you. When I got in front of this group, they made me knelt. They made me kneel in front of me, so I was kneeling on the floor, and May said this to me, he said, we have been praying for the last 30 years that God will send someone down there to liberate that area. And when we heard about you, we know you are the man.
Praise God.
So they began to pray over me, and then when they got done, and a few more checks were handed to me. In the midst of that, there was a man, the only man there. He tapped on my shoulder. He said, would you come to my house? So I said, yes. The following Tuesday, we went to his house. Now we're in the Sunset District in San Francisco. It's a three-story building. And we walk into the second floor, a large living room. He was sitting in the middle of the living room with his wife. He didn't get up at all. He just kind of waved at me. He said, why don't you get close to me? I want to touch your hand. When I got close to him and I grabbed this thing, I realized he was blind. And he said, would you please sit down? I want to tell you a story. He said, 20-some years ago, I made a lot of money in Macau. But God said to put that away because one day I want you to release it. He said, when I heard about you wanting to get that building for Jesus, the Holy Spirit said, that's the man. I want you to release that to him. And then he asked me, he said, are you the man? I said, I am the one. So he asked his wife to get the stuff. She got up, goes behind the curtain, comes back out with a bag of gold coins. And they handed it to me. And then he said to me, go and sell those gold coins and get that building. And we did that with those checks. As we were about ready to approach the broker, a pastor called from Santa Cruz. Now, remember, up to that point, I had no contact with anybody. He said, we heard about you. We've been selling off some properties in the back of our church. We want to give you 10% of the proceeds, which is $100,000. Would you like to have it? I said, I would. Where are you? I would like to get the money. So with that, the gold coins and those checks, we bought the building. It was selling at 1.2. You can check the real estate market. We got it 1997. It was the downturn of the real estate. And so the value of the building went from 1.2 to $660,000. And that's why we got the building.
And today, what's that building valued at?
A few weeks ago, we had to get appraisal on that building. It was close to $7.8 million, something like that. But that building has been such a place of refuge for us to be able to minister just to the people right there in the Tenderloin.
That story and more is here in the book, Chasing God.
Yes.
A book, stories like that will literally revolutionize your life. Just hearing it. Hey, thank God we can hear him tell it.
Amen.
You can read all about it here, Chasing God, available at Amazon.com and at bookstores across America. Available for you. Chasing God by Roger Wong and Susanna Foth Ottman. Forward is written by John Ortberg. And this book will be a blessing to you. And I would say not only get it for yourself, get it for those who you know and love, and give it as a gift to bless them, and they will be blessed. We're going to take a quick break right now, and when we come back, maybe a few more stories from Pastor Roger Wong. You know, some people, they make up stories, and they're quite entertaining, quite captivating. But when you live the stories and you're able to share it, well, that's quite another thing. Mm. That's a testimony. That's a testimony of God working not just marvelously, miraculously. And Pastor Roger would say, it's not him. You can experience that too. He'll share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Some people, they drop their heads before a meal and they pray at the, whether it's at a restaurant or at home, saying grace, as is typically said in many, many places. We need to pray and say grace. And well, that's praying, and we ought to pray. We should pray. There's a whole nother level of prayer and the power of prayer that comes when we pray and fast. I think a lot fewer people experience what that means. Some may know a little about it. Some may know a lot about it. But do you do it? When you do it, oh, there is a breakthrough beyond what we could imagine. Our guest today, Pastor Roger Wong, he and his wife Maite, have lived a life of prayer and fasting. In fact, in his book, Chasing God, a number of chapters start with prayer and fasting because they have literally seen God move miraculously, providing, opening doors, breakthroughs taking place in some hostile situations. But through prayer and fasting, the Lord has moved mightily. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with my co-host, Terry Wong. And we have our guest in studio, Pastor Roger Wong. He's the author of the book, Chasing God. The foreword is written by John Ortberg. In chapter 16, there's a chapter entitled Prayer and Fasting for the Tenderloin. And there's a subtopic, Tenderloin 2004, a 33-day hunger strike for the Tenderloin. What is that about, Pastor?
You know, after being ministering, walking the streets of the Tenderloin, we realize that the area, this community, has been a dumping ground for many reasons. And no one could have done anything to improve it. We have so many liquor stores. We're supposed to have only 25 liquor licenses. At that point, we have something like 47. We have so many massage parlors, underground pot club, adult entertainment on every block. And at the same time, we have 4,000 kids running around 50 city blocks. But no one could do anything. And it was also at that time a strip club opened up right next to the City Impact building. Some of the bouncers outside throughout the day would tell our kids, our students, our girls in our elementary school, and say, hey, you guys look pretty good. When you graduate from that school, why don't you come over and be the strippers? And when that conversation took place, came into my heart, I was very touched and, again, very emotional. How can this happen? This is daily harassment from these bouncers. So once again, I sat with my wife, and she said the same thing to me. She said, Roger, you know you need to do something. And I said, what do I need to do? She said, you know you need to fast and pray. And so we both decided we're going to go ahead and stage the hunger strike. So we set a date. I pick up a folding chair on that particular day and just walk all the way to the front of the city hall and put my chair down and sat there for the next 33 days, day and night. And we type up a letter, submit it to the mayor of that time, and ask him to clean up the Tenderloin streets, wash the sidewalk. We want him to put monitors on the portable toilet so that people don't shoot up in there or doing illicit businesses. We want him to stop the liquor licenses from being issued in the Tenderloin. We wanted him to put a rebar around the park so the homeless population, they cannot sit on the edge or going into the park to do drugs. And we also asked him to close down the strip club. Those were our demands. And so I sat there for the next 33 days. And eventually it picked up a lot of attention from the city. The media came out. They were trying to find out what I was there for. It became a big news. The mayor came out. He asked me if I would be willing to have pizza with him And I told him that wasn't the reason why I was there. And anyway, 33 days later, they compromised. They have a cleaning crew there now in the Tenderloin daily, morning through night. They put the rebars around the park. They have monitors over the portable toilet. And they have cleaned up the toilet, the Tenderloin quite a bit. And the strip club, just a few months later, the operator of that strip club died suddenly. So it was closed down. So everything that we asked for, it was met. And that's what that chapter is about.
In 33 days, you're sitting there. You made a commitment, a covenant, as you say. You and Mighty knew what God wanted you to do. What went on emotionally in the process? Because you're telling the story now, we know what happened. But at the front side of things, you didn't know what was going to happen. You just knew that you needed to fast and pray. How did you work through that? Were there fears? Were there uncertainties that you had to work through in your heart?
I was desperate. My wife was desperate. I was out there 33 days, day and night. She was also fasting with me, but she had to leave that spot. She would sit with me from 9 to 5, and then she would go home and take care of the kids. And there was a lot of fear. When you look at the city hall in San Francisco, I believe is the largest city hall building in America. It's humongous. And you are just one single individual sitting there trying to present this cause to this great government. And I was very depressed. I was fearful. And I was very cold, hungry, and but I know that it's not about feeling. This is all about faith. And I just cried out to God every day and said, God, I hope you would do something about this.
But as each day continued and you didn't see any results yet, did that not make you more depressed and wondering, God, where are you in this?
I have been depressed since day one. It just got worse as the day goes by. And I didn't get any better until the 33rd day when everything was met. And that's when I said, God, I couldn't believe it that you came through.
The people walk by, they see you, right? It's before it's even been picked up by media. People say things to you? Do they mock you? Do they laugh? I mean, what kind of responses or reactions do people have?
In general, San Francisco is a very compassionate city. Many people came out. They would go to the mayor's office and demand for changes. And many people came to me and they will offer me food. This is time to eat. I'm bringing you something. People would drive by, other folks from other places would say, stop this. You can't die in front of the city hall. I'm taking you to the restaurant right now.
Hmm. And you're losing weight.
I went from 175 to 140 pound. And sometimes throughout the night, people will come by. They will lay food in front of me. And but that's not what I was there for.
You really believed in this cause. And what results can happen if people can really stand behind a cause?
Well, so you got your demands met.
Yeah.
What did it do in the lives of your family members and those that were a part of San Francisco City Impact?
They were supportive. But I think more than that, San Francisco City Impact is a different kind of a work now, because most of our staff have been doing just that because of the example that I've been setting. It's not because we're more spiritual. We have young men and young women in our ministries Just in the last few months, I can tell you one young man was fasting for 40 days, that God would just change his life. And the other young man was fasting for 30 days. Another young lady was fasting for 40 days. And then there was 21 days and then 10 days. It's just they believe in the power of prayer and fasting, not so that it can be more spiritual, but that they can grab hold of the very thing that God has for them as a single individual so that they can stay on course. That's what that is about. It's not about more spiritual power so that we can perform and that other can look to, but that we can be the very person that God has created us to be.
See, there's a fine line there. And you're touching upon an issue that can be, maybe we don't talk about it too much in this respect. But the fine line in the focus of being what God has called you to be, as opposed to performance driven, which is connected with a lot of pride, spiritual pride, which can be the worst, could possibly, arguably say that's the worst of all, kind of a pride. So it's I hear what you're saying when you mention that and how important that is. Because people can be misled in thinking, I'm doing this for you, but it becomes very carnal as opposed to spiritual depth. Pastor, your book, Chasing God, talks about that and more. The thing is, we're not just reading about a book of history of some man that lived years and years ago and experienced many miracles through a life of prayer and fasting and obedience and faithfulness to God. He's sitting right in studio with us, Pastor Terry, and sharing what's happening right now. When we come back, I'd like to hear what the Lord has put on your heart, yours and Maite and the leaders of San Francisco City Impact for the future. What will the next decade look like and beyond? As you see, the Lord has done many mighty things. But what do you have to look forward to in making a difference in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco in the days to come? You're listening to Pastor Roger Huang. He's the author of the book Chasing God, available at Amazon.com and book outlets across the country. Stay with us. We'll be back with more from him. You don't want to miss it.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of new stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.org. Others have connected with us on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Valarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, and RG Maintenance LLC. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 KGU. Weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Okay, you know, I want to get... Let's be real. All right? We're talking about being genuine. We talk about authenticity. And so sometimes when we're talking heart to heart, if it's really heart to heart, you got to get to the bottom of things. You know, what really moves people to do what they do? What's the why behind all the things that go on around us? And that's what we want to do today. Hopefully that's what you're hearing as you listen to our show day after day, week after week, but especially today, as we speak with our guest, Pastor Roger Wong. He's the Chief Executive Development Director of San Francisco City Impact. To find out more, in fact, you can go to sfcityimpact.com. He's also the author of the book, Chasing God. Again, sfcityimpact.com. I'm here with Pastor Terry Wong, my co-host. I'm Danny Yamashiro. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. And in this final segment of part two of our two-part feature, we want to go back and talk with Pastor Wong about the foghorn of San Francisco. The sound of it, you may hear it even as I'm saying it, the foghorn. What does it mean to him and how does it relate, Pastor, to the issue of spiritual pride and how God has worked in and through your life?
This book, of course, is written to just for people to know that through prayer and fasting, we get close to God. We show Him how desperate we are, and we want Him to come into our lives and to put us on the right track instead of our track. And so over the course of time, I've seen God moved in different ways, whether it's in lives of the folks in the Tenderloin District of San Francisco, or provide a building for us, whatever that may be. I know that I'm not prideful about all that. I'm not arrogant about all that. And sometimes we can cross the line and begin to feel that maybe I'm more special, I have more anointing. Mm. But I remembered how I was nothing. I was just a restaurant worker. I was alone. I was abused. I was broken. I was out on the streets. I was sleeping in the doorways of some of the homes and hotel locker room. And through those times, the foghorn was something that I would always hear wherever that would go in the city of San Francisco. And now, in this stage of my life, knowing what God has done through my life, and all the great things that He has done, really not for me, but for Him and for the sake of the people in the Tenderloin. Mm-hmm. And the foghorn will remind me, Roger, it's not about you. Mm. You didn't do anything. It's Him. Remember where you were? He brought you to where you are so you can remember. It has always been Him. So I'm just grateful where I'm at right now that He showed His kindness to me, to my wife and my kids, and His mercies, they're great every day.
So the foghorn helps to keep that potential spiritual pride in check then.
Yes, very much so. Now, not that I have spiritual pride, remember, I came from a very abusive family. So superiority complex is not in me. I have inferiority complex. But I know if I focus on the things that God has done in my life too much, then I would feel like I'm kind of a better of a person than others. I don't want to get there because I believe it's in my meekness that God came through, mm-hmm. not in my proud and pridefulness.
Mm-hmm. There's a picture of you in the book standing in front of about 1,200 people in the street. What are you talking about, vision? What's the vision? We've got, you know, another couple minutes left. What's the vision of San Francisco City Impact in the next 10 years?
My wife and I, we made a covenant before the living God. If it's possible that we would like to see spiritual awakening in the city, we have never had that. We have had great gatherings, keynote speakers that come through. We have movements in the city, the Gold Rush, the hippie movement, the dot-com movement. But there's never been a supernatural awakening that comes straight from the throne of God, where the whole city would be turned upside down by the Holy Spirit. And we hope that we can be a part of that, just the spark, but not the focus. And if we can continue to change one life at a time, maybe 10 years later we have many more of those single lives, and as they prayed and call on God, and God himself will come and show mercy to the city. Many people talk about the judgment over the city, but I believe God's merciful. His mercies, they're new every day. And that's always first before the judgment. So we believe for that spiritual awakening. We want to do everything that we can possibly do to do our job and then see the result.
Pastor Wong, it has been a privilege to listen to you, to have you here sharing your heart. It is a privilege to our whole community of listeners. And I thank you for sharing out of the humility of your heart the magnanimous things that the Lord has done. My dear friend, as you have listened today, I hope that you have been inspired and moved ever so deeply by the story of Pastor Roger Wong. And as I say, you know, there's no better time. He's a man of opportune moments. There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. We've got some information for you there. Get to know Jesus. Click that. And if you want to join our financial support team, leave a donation. Make a donation at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Click partners. Psalm 82 verse 4 says, rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. We've heard about that today. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to our guest, Pastor Roger Wong. Find out more at sfcityimpact.com. Until next time, along with my co-host Terry Wong and our technical producer Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.